Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. My favorite hour each week. I hope it's yours. Let's get to it. Straight to the mat. Today's show, 320. 320 hours of shows for you. If you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Today's show, why people don't heal, how the force must guide us. Why people don't heal? You might be asking yourself that question about you. If not, then you want radiant health because there's nothing wrong. Either way, you have to understand the force. No, this is not an esoteric show. This is not philosophic. This show has enormous practical application. I want you to understand that. This is about how to do it, how to do it right. This is about someone, that someone me, after 2.5 decades of watching people suffer through all sorts of health calamities. Some of them get through and some of them don't. As a doctor, if you care, you have to ask yourself why some people heal and why some people don't. The truth is, it has nothing to do with what you're taught in school. Doctors are not really taught to spend much time on why people don't heal. And patients know far, far, far less. The learning curve in health is so far behind. We have to do so much. That's why I do this show. That's why you listen to this show. I'm glad to say after 5 years, I have people all over the world listening to this show. And this show is not for everybody. But I want you to spread the word because holistic medicine must do more. It must do more because to think that your healing is about finding the right doctor with the right solution, with the right set of nutritional supplements that are going to live up to the claims. Really, we have to expand ourselves on this concept. Look, I argue this because that's the way I was taught. I was taught, go to school, get the best grades, get the best degrees, go to a bunch of schools, have a bunch of degrees, and be the best, and it would all work out. You'd see the miracles. And if you didn't, well, then just go work for someone or with someone that was famous and well-known and so on and so forth, and they would show you the miracles, and then you would learn how to perform the miracles. I never saw it. I'm telling you, I never saw it. This is one of the most disheartening parts of my life, that what I was taught against all my educations, chiropractic school, acupuncture school, you name it, I'm still in school. I'll die in school. Every holistic subset of medicine that you go to promises things that in the end you do not see in the reality of your practice. And I can tell you after 25 years, I'm better than most. So you never say you're the best, but I am in that level. And if the healing was anything like the schools I've gone to and the teachers I've had told me it was, I wouldn't do this show. I wouldn't have to do this show. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This show is conceptual. You, John Q. Public, do not heal without understanding concepts. That's not philosophy. That's not theology. That's not esoteric. Concepts lay the foundation to action. You have to know what you're doing and why you're doing it before you spend the time, energy, and money actually doing it. We are not dogs. We are not slaves. We need to understand why. And you have to honor that within yourself, whether you like it or not. And often you don't like it. Why? Because it takes time to learn. You want to be out doing other things. Patients don't want to go to doctors to learn about their health. Health is very low on the list for many, many people. Health is something you look at when you can't do what you want to do. If you want to golf, if you want to run, if you want to pick your grandkids up, if you want to drive a fast car, if you want to go to the moon, whatever you want to do, if you can't do it because you don't feel good, that's when you look at health. Before that, you're not interested. That's human nature. You got to accept that. And that's the issue. Why people don't heal. The Force. Remember the Force? Remember back in the late 70s, Star Wars, right? I know this is just Hollywood. This has nothing to do with anything. Well, there's something called the midichlorian count. Midichlorian count. If you're on the website, straighttalk.cc, look up what is the midichlorian count. I'll quote picture 13. Midichlorians are intelligent microscopic life forces that symbiotically live inside the cells. And what they do is they detect the pervasive energy field known as the Force. The midichlorian counts were linked to the potential in the Force. And in Star Wars, if you remember, and who hasn't seen Star Wars? Who had the most midichlorians in Star Wars? Darth Vader, right? The antihero that became the hero. And then who had the second largest number of midichlorians? Darth Sidious, that was the evil emperor. And then who had the third largest number of midichlorians? Yoda. And then Luke Skywalker. And then his sister. And what's the point? The point is that there's something that in Western vernacular, in the language of the United States, say, we don't really talk about. You may call it charisma. You can call it personality, dynamic life force. You can call it whatever you want. It's bigger than that. It means a lot more than that. And if you remember those scenes between Yoda and Luke Skywalker out in the bog, when Skywalker's trying to lift the spaceship out of the swamp, and Yoda's trying to coach him on how to be successful, and Skywalker doesn't have the right attitude, and Yoda keeps banging on his head, and Skywalker doesn't have the right attitude, and Yoda keeps training him and banging him on the head, so to speak, and shaking his life up. Well, guess what? That's what doctors are supposed to do. That's right. Really, sit back, relax, and think about what I just said. Your doctor's a trainer. Your doctor's not the guy you go to for the recipe. Your doctor's the guy you go to build the force, the potential of your life force. And here's another non-democratic statement. Not everyone has the same amount. Some people may not like that. Somebody may not like that. But we're not all the same that way. But that's the truth. Some people have greater potentials. Some people are born with more midichlorians than others. Now, where we are democratic is, regardless of who you are and how much you've got, you have equal right to develop it. That's where we are democratic. Where we are not democratic, where we are in reality, is that people have different amounts. What does this mean? I'll tell you what it means. Come on in, sit down across my big fat oak desk, mahogany desk tomorrow, and I'm going to figure out just how fast you're going to move the ball based on what God gave you if you want to employ the gifts you were given. What it means is if you're interested in holistic health, you're bringing to the table a certain amount of potential, of currency, of midichlorian, of life force. And when you have a lot of it, you figure out how to absorb out of the tasks you're given. You figure out how to absorb out of the health tasks you're given, the cleanses, the stretches, the psychology, the physical manipulation, the books to read, so many things, you figure out at a faster rate how to translate that into health as it relates to your health concern. Whether you are dying of cancer or whether you simply want to live to 100 years old vibrantly, it's the same thing. Now let that go very deeply inside of yourself. Because your job is to enhance your sensitivity. So I'm going to twist things now. Your job is to listen to your body with ever-increasing sensitivity over the days, weeks, months, years, over the pennies, the dollars, and the hundreds of dollars. And what you pay somebody to do is help guide you. Doctors are nothing more, but nothing less than Yoda. That is the truth. That is the way we should be looking at our health. If you're looking to find somebody, that's what you're looking to find. A board of regents who have trained diligently, not academically, not just academically, clinically, not just clinically, but within themselves, so that they are supremely sophisticated at listening and interpreting the signs that their body gives them, which is what they're teaching you to do. That is what you're paying for. I just want to know what herb to take. I just want a doctor to tell me good things. I just want to find a doctor that loves me, a doctor that really cares. You see, these things are important, but really, it's not what it's about. If I want a surgeon, I want a surgeon that is devoted passionately to the art of surgery. The most effect for the least amount of cutting and done correctly. I kind of really don't care if he cares about me. I don't need his love. I say this kind of tongue in cheek, but I hope you get my point. The public's version of what they want from the doctor and what they should want from the doctor generally have nothing to do with each other. That's why I do this show. We've got to close the learning curve. You can choose to stay in your reality. I assure you that has consequences. So each of us was born with a certain amount of midichlorian. What does that mean? It means that when you do a task, a health task, a coffee enema, an olive oil flush for your liver, a stretch for your tendons, when you change something in the experiment at night to push your sleep towards a better sleep, when some doctor says, do this, the do of this is not, oh, yes, I did it. It's, we're going to ask you to do something, and then we're going together to listen to your body. Tell us if we hit the mark or how far off the mark we were. To learn how to divest your energy, to learn how to use your finances, to learn how to spend your time efficiently is to know that you have to listen to the response of your body. That's what people hate to do. And they don't even know to do it, and then they don't even know when they're not doing it. And then the doctor can't get any information. The patient can't get any information. There's no real inquiry into cause and effect. You just don't walk in with a symptom on a sheet of paper and have somebody go, okay, symptom. Now let's do a multiple choice test. Which nutritional supplement for this health concern, this symptom? It doesn't work that way. You think it does because that's the way we sell you herbs. Forget that. If you ace on that one, well, you got lucky, so great. Let's get over it and get to the point. If you're in a complicated labyrinth, or if it's not a health concern along the lines of an illness, but you want at 60 or 70 to make it to 80 or 90 vibrantly, I mean vibrantly, then you have to understand what I'm talking about. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you're nodding your head, be careful. If you want to understand what I'm talking about, I get it. You want to course through the exercises of health, asking yourself, how did this make my body feel? You write it down on a sheet of paper. Everything is cause and effect. This is so unbelievably overlooked. I'll give you a simple example. Coffee enemas. Coffee enemas were hailed in the cancer clinics, the Gerson Clinic, Donald Kelly, Nick Gonzalez. Coffee enemas were hailed in a nutritional, oncological world for 50, 60, 70, 80 years as one of the things you had to do. I would say over 90% of the population that does coffee enemas doesn't even understand they're supposed to see yellow-green stuff come out into the toilet when they do the enema. We missed that one completely. Most of us did, because nobody told you, or if they told you, they didn't emphasize it. You weren't tested on it. If you ask your average person after they do an enema, how did it make you feel? They'll look at you blankly in the face. Doctors forget to even pose the questions. When you eat a food, does that food cause you gas? Does it make you burp? Does it cause you pain? Does it disappear in your stomach correctly? Can you figure out when you eat the food which body part it goes to? Does the duck and the lamb go to the sex organs? Does the meat go to the muscles? Does the fish go to the brain or the nervous system? Does that food bring you an endorphin rush? Does that food tell you from the second you smell it something's wrong with that food and you're not going to eat it? Do you make your food choices like a cat or a dog? Are you finicky? Now, you see, when I say finicky, I'm not talking about those of you out there who react to everything the wrong way. People like that are in just as much trouble as people who don't react. If you're reacting poorly to everything, if you're hypersensitive, it's really off the same issue of being hyposensitive. It represents that the nervous system is grossly imbalanced one way or the other. And your midichlorian potential, your healing intelligence, the piece of your body that knows what is righteous for you is not working. And so the herbal program, the food choices, the different types of exercise, the different types of psychotherapies, of emotional-based work, the different types of physical bodily manipulations are all primers to get you better and better and better at listening to your body, writing down what your body's telling you so that you can give yourself more of that experience. Now, I'm going to tie the word pleasure into this, that verboten word, right? Pleasure. What does chronic low back pain have to do with pleasure? What does chronic low back pain have to do with pleasure? What does cancer have to do with pleasure? What is IBS? What is organ failure? What is late-stage emphysema? What do the things that ail us, the things that torment us, have to do with pleasure? This is a tough one. But being sick is a tough thing. What is being heartbroken over the life you've had? What is hitting 70 years old and feeling like, well, for as much as it's been good, I'm holding a lot of pain and I'm not sure if I want to be here. How do you feel at 70 or 75 when just about everybody you know is dead? And they didn't have easy deaths. What does that have to do with pleasure? Well, it's a tough one to wrap your head around, but the bottom line is this. Your connection to your body, what we'll call your midichlorian count, is there as an entity, as a living organism, as an IQ, an intelligence quotient of a different type, in your being. And the reason it's put there is to connect you to the pleasure of reorganizing, reconfiguring your chemistry and your physics and your electrical field in the direction of regeneration of fresh living tissue. And that, my friends, is pleasurable. Some people feel that more than others. Some people have a very high potential to feel that. Others have a high potential, but it's blocked by a massive amount of guilt and shame and all those lower angles of our nature that block the pleasure. It's pleasure. A healing is a search for a pleasurable sensation amidst the tumultuousness of a healing. Healing is tumultuous. Healing is like being out in a storm. Healing is sometimes like being dunked in an ice bath. Healing is a fire. A real healing tests your faith. To, in the process of that, extract a grain or two or three or four or five or six or seven grains of pleasure continually through the labyrinth of a healing is what determines the efficacy, the success or failure of the healing. It is really that simple. And some people come in with higher potentials and others don't. Either way, as I said, and I'll keep saying, the job of the doctor is to help promote that. That's why God gave us a nervous system. Your neurological system, your brain, your spinal cord, your dural tissues, your hypothalamus, your pituitary. That's why those tissues are there. Those tissues transmit the force. When you deprive the neurological system its integrity, you cannot assemble the chemicals of healing. That means the herbs don't work. That means the therapy doesn't work. That means you will spin. That means you travel from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor. Because you think, because you're stuck on a concept that's non-reality. You think you're going to find that doctor that's going to give you that therapy after he figures out what that problem is. And we're going to do it on that plane, that simplistic kindergarten level plane. We've been given this magnificently complex organism. And we, Homo sapien, have decided we're going to reduce all of that. And after 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of beating our bodies to death, some genius across a desk with a few credentials is going to lay out a cookbook cure for you. I mean, what do you say to that? I say, listen to my 320 shows. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. No show like this in America. I kid you not. If you like to think, if you like to put the pieces together, if you see healing as a journey, if you see your health as a puzzle put there by God to bring you to the other side and closer to Him, call my office, 714-850-1007. I want people like that. It's great to engage people, no matter how ill they are, no matter what the depth of their health concern. It's great to engage people who see health as a journey. But you got to do the groundwork. You do the groundwork for your investments. You know where to put your money. Or at least you spend time trying to figure it out. You've got tax consultants, retirement consultants, senior analysts, I mean, that's a hot topic. AM radio does nothing on weekends, generally. But put analysts, financial analysts on. Everyone wants to know what to do with their money. Yeah, what you're going to do with your money is spend it on the health that you don't have because you didn't spend enough time figuring out what the fundamentals of health really are. You're not getting it in the hospitals. Okay. Let's keep going. When you eat your meal, when you choose the food you choose, are you listening to your body? You must refine that process. Food is an experiment. The preparation of the food, the quality of the food, the way you mix the food. And in the end, the mark is it goes in, it goes down, it disappears, and you get energy from it. The way you wiggle and waggle through the labyrinth of your food choices is based upon what your body tells you per unit episode. You get people who have been sick digestively for 10, 20, 30 years. This is really the way it works. It's unbelievable. It really works this way. They're sick 10, 20, 30 years. Ulcerative colitis, IBS, Crohn's disease, all the refluxes. People who look at food as a nightmare because it's only going to meet pain when they put it down. And you watch the way they go about their food choices. One thing they're always doing is mixing food. I'm not going to do a food show today. I've done 10 food shows in 320 hours. Get on the website and listen to them. I'm going to make a salient point to support the argument today. Which is that what are you mixing your foods for? How does somebody after 10, 20, or 30 years of poor digestion sit down to a meal and put five or six? I got up, I took a spelt tortilla, I toasted the tortilla and I put on avocado because I heard it was good. And then I put on some olives and then I cut some onions in. And then I put this and I put about 14 foods on that spelt piece of tortilla. Of course, it's spelt because spelt digests better. And I ate it. And then later on, I had another meal about the same way. And by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I looked like a pregnant woman. I felt like my belly button was about to pop out the front of my abdomen. And I don't know why. And that's the way most people who have digestive problems course their day. And they get and hit the home run if they just turn their experiment into a trial and error process where it's okay to make a mistake and then it's absolutely euphoric to figure out a choice that the body told you is good. You know, this is in our everyday language. We don't spend time in medicine really and truly creating language about how to develop a person's sensitivity to food. People are always focused on what makes them feel sick. But have you ever just taken a single food for a single day and determined whether or not that food went down the pipe and quickly and easily brought you to a place of easy digestion? Now, you can extend that notion to anything. When you stretch a tendon, what happens? When you stretch a tendon, what happens? Ask a person that, and they'll tell you, well, I stretch it. What do you mean, what happens? I just stretched it. And this is what I'm talking about. An actor is not supposed to read their lines and omit an inquiry to the audience. An actor is not supposed to just read his lines and forget about the audience's reaction. An actor is supposed to know whether or not there's a cause and an effect to their acting. A fighter, a boxer, is not supposed to throw a punch and have no notion of what happened on the other side of that punch. Now, somehow, when we translate what's common sense into a healing, well, this is where it falls apart, and this is the point of the show. When you do a stretch, what is the effect? You've got to have commentary on that. That has to be something that perhaps you even have to write down. That has to be something you have interest in. That has to be something that your doctor has guided you to a perception of in terms of result. And you have to know whether you're getting the result or not getting the result or getting only half the result. Otherwise, you are dawdling blindly through the labyrinth. And you will spin in circle after circle after circle for many, many decades. Herbs. What is an herb supposed to do? How do you know if an herb is working? A simple enough question to which you simply say, well, I took the herb for this problem, and if the problem doesn't go away, then the herb didn't work. That's nonsense. First of all, herbs generally do not return or give you an effect on the health concern you took them for. It's not the way herbs work. Yes, yes, sometimes you're going to have an exception to that, and that's a great moment. But by and large, when you put together an herbal formula for something, the something you intended it for is not the something you're going to feel change. Not initially, and not down the stream. It really doesn't work that way. But the herb will have an effect. I'll tell you how crazy this is. When people change their diets, when people take herbal programs, and the net effect of the herb is to relax them, which is always a good sign, to relax them, you know what they generally say? They call the office and they say, I don't know what you did, but I'm so tired, I can't go to work. I'm so tired, I can't even stand up. I'm so tired, I don't feel like doing anything. I'm so tired, I don't feel like running around the city like a chicken without a head. And I don't feel like getting myself sick and tired today. I'm so tired. And that's kind of what they say. And they say it because they can't distinguish between relaxation and true lack of energy. There's a classic example of an experiment where you spend time and money and energy going into some herbal program, doing the things you're told are going to make you feel better. And when you get the answer you're looking for, you can't even identify it. How about detoxifications? How many people, when they do a cleanse, have an itch or a rash? Or they don't feel good because their emotions come up. And the first thing they think is something's wrong when something's very right. Telling right from wrong is something that internal muscle that your healing quotient, that your midichlorian count is there to interpret for you. And when you're not connected to it, you can't tell right from wrong. The signs your body's giving you are not signs you can interpret. Thus the point of the show. Do you understand what it's like to spend days, weeks, months, years chronically ill? Do you understand what it's like to spend decades accumulating data, knowledge, credentials, licenses, all the things that go in to making a good doctor or a great doctor, a good therapist, a great therapist, and yet the reality of it is you're barking up the wrong tree. It's not the formula, it's your inability to interpret your body's signals. Yeah, I'm going to keep saying this in different ways. I've been saying it over 20 years. For the most part, I'm not happy with the result yet. I'm really not. You got to say it and say it and say it. Basics and fundamentals heal. Repetition heals. Repetition with focus heals. You got to wrap yourself around that. That's gospel to me. How do you feel? What you do, how do you feel? How did that yoga class make you feel? How did that stretch make you feel? When you took a little bit more of that herb, how did you feel? When you had your neck stretched, when you had your body manipulated, how did it make you feel? You bought that pillow for the new sleep. You dimmed the lights. You took that special herb. You bought that bed. The total number of episodes where that internal navigation field, that midichlorian count, is giving you guidance and its efficiency in that multifaceted, relentless, blinding light speed process is what determines efficiency in a healing. People who are numb. Do you know people who are numb? You know anybody that's numb? You know, like, the sky is blue, okay, but one day the sky is pink and they don't notice. You know people like that. Did you feel that? How many of you are so sensitive to food that just the smell of the food tells you whether or not it's going to go down your gut? Now, on both sides of that, how many of you have to eat a pound of rotten meat and get sick for a month to know the meat was bad? Now, I'll ask you the flip side of that. How many of you can't eat anything? How many of you are so neurologically twisted that you wouldn't really know good from bad? That's different ways of tempering my point. God gave us centers in the brain. If you look on the website from the pineal gland and its incredible location in the brain, the pineal gland, the hypothalamus, the pineal, and the pituitary are all talking to each other. And the conversation they're having is keeping you ever more righteously sensitive to the merit in the choices you make for your health. Now, just how alive, how vibrant is that piece of you? So I'm saying the same thing in a different way now. This language is everywhere. What are you doing in Bible study? Are you just mindlessly repeating verse? Or are you bringing your entire organism to the feeling of the word until something ignites within you? Something massive, something frightening, something life-changing. Now, which Bible study class are you in? And so you see the difference. You see my point. In disguised fashions, we've always been talking about the things we do to create a greater communication with our being. Now, you can call that God, and you can look up in the sky and wave at somebody in the sky that you're convinced is there, and if you wave enough, they're going to wave back. Or you can look at it as if that internal journey connects you to him. It's a big difference in the way you develop your sense of choice. It's a very big, big difference. And perhaps the word, perhaps the original words, were written in forms to move your organism so that you could read the wisdom of your soul and celebrate it above. Well, isn't that what a fast is? What was the 40-day water fast? What is fasting today? Why do we cleanse? We cleanse to purge. And as we purge, we lighten. and our organism becomes more vibrant, and our intelligence about righteous choice, and I'll just limit it to health now, our intelligence about righteous choice refines itself. Now, there's a way to look at it. There is a way to look at it. The way to look at it is the hypothalamus, the pituitary, the pineal, the dural tissue, the brain, the spinal cord, the peripheral nerves are all antennas. And for as much as they're physical structures, I put them on the show's website, for as much as they're physical structures, they are really more closely bodies of light. And as you bring more of your midichlorian potential to those structures, they generate more light. And that light then has a massive effect on your chemistry. So you can see how limited pharmacology is. You can see how limited the Western allopathic model is. They're going to cut it or pharmacologically, biochemically alter it. When the body is looking for light, sounds biblical, doesn't it? Perhaps that's what's being suggested. One of the pieces of the puzzle is that the body is light, and right action gives you more of that physical experience. Those of you with a higher midichlorian count, or we could say a more developed soul, or we could say of higher consciousness. I mean, we are all the same, but we're not all the same. There are very low consciousnesses. I gave my life to $1 billion, and then I wanted $10 billion. And when I got to $10 billion, I wanted $20 billion. And when I wanted $20 billion, I wanted $100 billion. And now I have $100 billion, and I'm looking for $200 billion. And at the end, before I pass, I'm going to sit on my mound of money, have a big ornate funeral, have everybody tell me I'm a good guy, and that's the way I'm going to take it to the other side. I want to ask you, what kind of a consciousness is that? Worse yet, are the people who rule the people with the lower consciousness? What about the school teacher who doesn't know if his or her pension will bring them into security and comfort in their old age? What about the school teacher that changes lives? What about that school teacher? You know, I have a school teacher, wonderful man. He's just retiring. Once a week or once a month, somebody taps in and says, "Hey, Mr. So-and-so, remember me? You taught my child, or you taught me 25, 30 years ago." What about that guy? Interesting the way the world builds itself. Its hierarchy is a little funny, don't you think? Where do we find redemption in this poor hierarchy? You're looking at it on the website today. Develop within yourself those physiological centers that were put there to guide you through the labyrinth of life. I'll limit it to health. From a doctor's vantage point, it's your ability to do that that courses you elegantly or very poorly, very awkwardly, very costly through a healing. It's a perception. If you're listening to the show today and going, "Yeah, but what am I supposed to do?" You need to listen to the show again. And until you can listen to this show and say, "Well, I just have to shift my vantage point," you haven't learned anything. It's okay for me to tell you that. How can I advance you if I can't suggest to you a goal? And if I can't repeat to you what many of you might be thinking? He didn't tell me anything. I want to know what to do about my fibromyalgia. I want practical, concrete things to do. I'll tell you what you should do. You should buy yourself a ticket to nowhere, because that's where you're going. I wouldn't do a show like this if I saw that attitude work. I never see it work. You can name your ailment, your health concern. It's there because there's a great big soul inside you that wants you to listen. And what that means is it wants you to learn with discretion the different types of messages you're being fed every single day. And it's going to keep giving you an opportunity to do that until you worm your way out of the labyrinth. And that's how you get to the other side in a healing. There's no substitute for that. But you just want to find that doctor that gives you that cleanse or gives you that herbal supplement because they said it would, because they swore it would, because they had a lot of people giving testimony to it, because they wrote a lot of books so they should know. That's what you want. Okay, 10% of the time, maybe you get that. If you're very lucky. But honestly, I'm just being kind. If you have a chronic health concern, it never works that way. Never. Now, that's good news. It's good news if you want to embrace it. I wouldn't do this if it didn't fascinate me. That God gave Homo sapien a pineal gland, a hypothalamus, a pituitary, the dural system, all working in unison, the autonomic nerves, all working like an orchestra to make beautiful music is fascinating. I had a young lady tell me the other day, she lives down in Florida, she's got a very bad health concern, I mean the kind that keep you in a wheelchair. And she told me, you know, this is just hell. Why can't I just eat what I want? I just want to be normal. She's in a wheelchair. Obviously, you're not going to have a normal life. And I know what some of you are thinking, how terrible that is. Yeah, it is, but that's not the way you can afford to look at it. If you want to see the miracle, throw the wheelchair away. If you want to see the miracle, ask yourself what deep down inside of you you can't hear that's waving its hand and asking you to listen to. If you want to see the miracle, understand there's connections to be made between all those cleanses that you may not want to do. Because they cost time and they cost money and sometimes they don't feel good. But that's how you get to your soul. We are Christian people. Many of us. This is Christian radio. What was Jesus doing? What was Jesus doing in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights? In case you haven't noticed, 40 days and 40 nights in a desert is not a party. What was he doing? He was gathering his strength. Gathering strength. Those of you who cleanse, those of you who are ill, those of you who are coming into the ministry of health, those of you who are deciding that the allopathic choices are going to keep you shelved, going to keep you out of the zone, those of you who find adversity in your journey. Understand you're supposed to. On the other side of that adversity is a little more knowledge of you. And that is a celebration. And it will feel good. But you have to understand it does not come without adversity. If you can extract a blessing from that, if you can extract an endorphin, an enkephalin, if you can extract a little dimethyltryptamine, a little DMT, if you can extract some wisdom, if you can extract some peace, If you can pull out of your costly journey a modicum of pleasure, light that candle in the name of you, in the name of God. And that's how you heal. Well, if you've gotten through the show today, pat yourself on the back. If you have a headache, that's because you were listening. And if you're clapping and dancing, well, perhaps you've learned something. Either way, if I practice another 30, 40, 50 years, I guarantee you I will be telling you the same thing in different words. What excites me as a scientist is how God made these organs, which biochemically now bestow upon us these miracles we pray for. A miracle is not a blind pipe dream. A miracle is initiating what's within us. And as I said, what excites me is the process through which you get to touch these things. The years I spent in chiropractic school doing brain dissection, where you get to put your hands on these pieces of the human body, so complex. They affect you. They move you. They give you a sense that you're made of light. Even that formaldehyde-ridden corpse of a brain that you hold in your hand in dissection lab ignites you. Even as the formaldehyde burns your eyes and your nose, I had the keys to the lab. I went to the dean and said, I want the keys to the lab. You're going to give me the keys to the lab. I did my Jedi mind trick on her. You weren't supposed to have the keys to the lab. You will give me the keys to the lab. Yes, I will give you the keys to the lab. You think I'm kidding. I know you think I'm kidding. No, it happened that way exactly. I am not kidding at all. This stuff is real. Dare I say the Egyptians? It's not just Christian culture that has understood these things. The ancient Egyptians understood this, and probably in a far more sophisticated way than we do today. They understood that the purpose of life was to ignite these abilities, that they could be used to supersede the chemistry of the body. Just mere dissection late at night in an anatomy lab, and you'll feel the wisdom of what they throw up on the walls in Egypt. And the whole world testifies to this. All the ancient temples. Religious scripture taken back far enough. Aramaic, hieroglyphic, Sanskrit. It's all tied together and stating the same thing. We need this today. As Europe crumbles, as America, well, some say, might go to civil war over the next 10 to 20 years. Much has changed. We have to come to grips with this. Right? How many of you in your 50s and 60s think about the 80s as the good old days? Remember? Doesn't matter. Bush, Clinton, it doesn't matter. It kind of felt like the good old days, didn't it? Right? Gorbachev was admitting Russia didn't work. The Berlin Wall fell. Our economy was strong. Right? How many of us are not thinking that way? It's not because you're aging. Something's happened. Something has changed. We have to meet that change. You have to bring the sophisticated nature of your organism to the table, socially, politically, and most of all, specific to this show, in terms of your health. Today's show is about the way you look at health. Why people don't heal. How the forced must guide us. Show 320. Why they don't heal. They don't heal because they need a facelift. They need an upgrade. And it's about this. It's about all these wonderful structures. CLA got it, the stress of life. Picture 30, the stress of life, Hans Selye. You know, I mention Hans Selye and the autonomic nervous system all the time. I hope by now many of you are having some visceral understanding of what I'm talking about. The stress of life. This is a guy, a medical doctor. He was revered. He came from Canada. I think he was, I don't know if he was French-Canadian. Canadian, European descent, of course. Had an institute. Author of 1,500 articles. A bunch of books. And all he was basically saying is, if you don't know how to chill like your kitty cat, you will not enjoy a healing. The body regenerates itself in the altered state. So you see perspectives like this everywhere. Candace Pert, Wilhelm Reich, Hans Selye. The essence of yoga. I say essence. The essence of Tai Chi, of Qigong, of Kung Fu. Why is a good 90% of nutritional radio about what herb to take? With commercial models behind it that went back 40 years. If people are understanding this. So really, pat yourself on the back for understanding this. And then try to apply it. Everything you do has a response. That response and God are the same thing. It's just your soul knocking on your ego. 714-850-1007. If you're lost in the labyrinth, give my office a call, 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.